asking why every case isn't reported. Next on WRAL, the reality check a local doctor shared with Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty. It's one of the many stories we're following right now at 6.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
We are living in the middle of a moment in history right now when the dust settles. What happened in this building this afternoon, the United States Capitol, will be the stuff of history books. President Trump, now the first American president to be impeached twice. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Crabtree.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. The drama played out all afternoon. Hours of debate ended in this vote, 232, including 10 Republicans in favor of impeachment and 197 House members against. Impeaching President Donald Trump on one count of inciting insurrection 1 week after the U.S. riot at the U.S. Capitol that started this process. North Carolina was divided in the election and is divided tonight in opinions about the impeachment process and the vote. WRAL's Keeley Arthur is live at the state capitol to share how people are reacting here tonight. Keeley?
Well, Deborah, North Carolina representatives very much voted along party lines here. As you mentioned, though, of course, they are far from the only people with an opinion. Some viewers took time out of their day today to record their opinions on their phones. Here's what they had to say.
Real North Carolinians shared their views on impeachment with WRAL. Some are very much in favor of the House vote results.
Yes, Donald Trump should be impeached. He's the president. He represents the country. If you let him get away with it, any sitting president after him will think they can do the same.
People have died due to his actions. The fact that we are a divided country does not overshadow the fact that justice must be served.
Others feel that with inauguration just days away, the move isn't worth it, and that President Trump is not responsible for inciting a violent uprising, which is what he's been charged with.
President Trump should absolutely not be impeached. He was simply having a peaceful protest. He didn't tell them to go bust up doors and break windows and hurt people at all.
Let the man alone. You know, it's deep. 10 days left in his term. Just let him go. Yeah, was he a great president? Well, the economy's never been better, ever. That's just a fact.
A number of representatives from North Carolina spoke on the House floor, including Republican Madison Cawthorn.
I urge my colleagues to vote against this divisive impeachment.
And Democrat Deborah Ross.
The president's responsibility for the violence and insurrection that occurred last Wednesday cannot go unanswered.
232 members of the House voted in favor of impeachment, 197 against.
So now we know that this moves to the Senate. We have yet to hear from North Carolina Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr about how they plan to vote. As we mentioned, those were viewers that you just heard in the story. We want to hear your opinion on the impeachment. You can share it at WRAL.com/yourvoice. Deborah?
I think that this debate will continue. Keeley Arthur live in Raleigh. Thanks, Keeley.
Well, as representatives debated the impeachment resolution, President Trump issued a statement calling for calm. Here's a look at the statement, 52 words in all. It says, in light of reports of more demonstrations, I urge that there must be no violence, no lawbreaking, and no vandalism of any kind. That is not what I stand for, and it is not what America stands for. I call on all Americans to help ease tensions and calm tempers. Thank you. Well, security concerns have prompted Governor Cooper to mobilize 550 members of the North Carolina National Guard. 350 will serve here at home beginning this weekend. The governor says they will protect people, property, and the right to peacefully assemble and protest. A spokesperson told us the Guard is prepared for the call.
These guardsmen are very experienced. They have extensive experience in this domestic type of operation. We worked in the spring during a protest in Raleigh and other cities in our state. And so these soldiers are ready for the task.
Now, the other 200 activated Guard members will travel to Washington to establish checkpoints and provide infrastructure for the inauguration. Stay with us at 6:30. NBC Nightly News has a look at the impeachment vote as it unfolded today. and the next step. Then tonight at 7, we're moving the conversation forward, examining trust in the news media and a post-Trump presidency.
You don't have Republican interests at heart. You don't have Democratic interests at heart. You have the public's interest at heart.
The challenges all news outlets are facing, why reporting is so often questioned, and why criticism of our right to a free press likely won't be going away anytime soon. That's tonight on our news at 7.
And we have some breaking news for Wake County parents. In the last 90 minutes, we learned school leaders will recommend all students should stay learning remotely until mid-February. WRL's Aaron Thomas joins us live with those details. Aaron?
Deborah, January 20th is a day that many students and families across this district are looking forward to. It's the start of second semester, and many of them are looking forward to being back in the classroom for daily in-person instruction. But it looks like Superintendent Kathy Moore is recommending that all students remain all remote at least through mid-February. There's no specific date listed just yet. This is all in response to the rising COVID numbers across our state. Board members say that they're going to be taking a close look at the data before making an official decision, expected tomorrow at the special called meeting. Now, tonight I have a talk with many parents, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of emotions about this topic, but ultimately they just want a decision. Deborah.
Aaron Thomas, live in Wake County. Thanks, Aaron. Well, two more counties also announced change to their plans today. Wayne County Schools decided a few hours ago to keep students in Plan B until March. And a note for our WILM viewers, New Hanover County Schools will remain in Plan C, learning remotely until January 25th.
After keeping the lid on COVID spread for months, the Wake County Detention Center is seeing its worst spread since the beginning of the pandemic. Out of the 1,100 inmates, close to 100 are currently in isolation after testing positive. Sheriff staff members are also impacted. WRL's Cullen Browder joining us live at the Hammond Road Detention Center with new details on this latest spread. Cullen?
And David, the Wake Detention Center is essentially in lockdown right now as the sheriff tries to limit movement of inmates and visitors. So here's the safety protocol when inmates first get to the detention center. They go into a 14-day quarantine unit. If they eventually test negative, they can move into the general population. But if they test positive, then they go into the isolation unit, single-cell pods. Even with all these restrictions, these cases keep multiplying among the inmates and staff.
It's kind of like a pinball machine. It's all over the place.
After mass testing, Sheriff Gerald Baker's team identified 55 cases at the downtown facility and another 40 at Hammond Road, although that number is incomplete as more results come in.
We do know that the numbers are high in the community. We know that we're going to see that in the jail. So we want to remain proactive.
In addition, 17 sheriff staff in the jail and across the organization are currently out after testing positive. And it's estimated another 10 are out as a precaution.
Given the Christmas holidays, the New Year holidays, all those folks who got them contracted and may be asymptomatic coming into the jail.
That concern is compounded by the resulting staffing shortages.
What have you had to do for staffing?
We've been moving staff all around the place.
Add to that challenge, the court system.
We are essentially following the doctor's recommendation and limiting any transport of prisoners into our facility.
During the recent lockdown, attorneys couldn't meet with inmates due to COVID concerns. Now they'll utilize video conferencing.
And again, the big concern right now is that staff potentially could be bringing this in. So the sheriff says he's very much aware of that, talking with his staff. Some good news in all this. None of these cases right now, we are told, are considered serious enough for hospitalization. But the medical director, David, believes this is another example while jail employees should be higher on that vaccination list.
Cullen Browder reporting live. Cullen, thanks.
Less than 5 minutes ago, President Donald Trump tweeted this recorded message from the White House Twitter handle. 25 million followers on that handle, you'll keep in mind. And remember, the president's Twitter handle was blocked and removed. So this is how he is communicating to his 25 million followers from the White House. This is a 5-minute clip. We're going to play 30 seconds of it where he condones the violence. Take a listen.
Mob violence goes against everything I believe in.
and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it, and you are attacking our country.
The president condemning that violence right there. Again, this is a 5-minute clip that was tweeted on the White House Twitter profile. We're going to get more of this video into our system here. It's a 5-minute clip. Certainly some major updates from the White House this afternoon. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. And state lawmakers met today to begin the new session for the year. The opening day is usually a festive affair. This year, it was less so due to COVID and the Washington, D.C. riot. In both the House and the Senate, state lawmakers of both parties said last week's event highlighted the need for unity. Democrats and Republicans alike said it's very clear that they need to move beyond partisan battles. House Speaker Tim Moore said he hopes the rioters are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
What we saw happen with the folks who stormed that Capitol shocked the conscience of the American people, shocked my conscience. And I think that it's been a wake-up call to a lot of people that we can and we have to do better.
Moore and Senate Leader Phil Berger said they plan to work first on COVID issues, including vaccinations. They're also looking at ways to help students who are lagging behind because of remote learning. Coming up, you ask the questions. Monica LaLiberty finds the answers.
COVID at local stores, restaurants, schools. You're asking why many cases are not reported. I'm 5 News Side's Monica LaLiberty. Just ahead, a reality check.
And what happens in this building in Georgia will help HBCUs across the country. How students right here in Raleigh will feel the impact. Mike?
Well, Deb, we had a beautiful day, but we're watching changes to our southwest. A radar update shows the rain heading through South Carolina, heading toward us. We're going to track it in Futurecast. Tonight's system and Friday night system, and how much could fall rain-wise, it's coming up.
Welcome back to the Live Center right now. Just getting this off the printer from the New York Times, reporting federal intelligence officials are warning that armed militia groups and racist extremists are targeting the presidential inauguration next week. That is being reported right now from the New York Times. Again, federal intelligence officials are warning armed militia groups and racist extremists targeting the January 20th inauguration of Joe Biden. One of the reasons we've seen the National Guard mobilize the way they have been, we've also reported how hundreds of North Carolina guardsmen are en route right now to Washington, D.C. to assist in securing the Capitol building and the surrounding areas going into this weekend. Full coverage for you. And any major developments right here on WRAL. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. One of the most common questions we're hearing right now from you involves reporting specific COVID cases. You want to know where they are and how many. Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty explains why individual cases are largely no longer reported.
Lines, tests, and yes, positive results. COVID cases are at record levels. Despite curiosity, though, we won't know about every single one.
So viewers are emailing their concerns about COVID in public places. One writing about COVID in grocery stores saying, who is monitoring retail store numbers and are these numbers available to the public? Another about a restaurant. They have 4 positive cases right now and refuse to shut down. And a daycare. It is very concerning that as a parent, I do not know the exact number. Health experts agree at this point, we should all just assume that COVID is everywhere we eat, visit, and shop.
The main thing we have to think about is anybody that's not in your household, you kind of have to treat them as if they may have the virus.
Dr. Anita Scaria is a family physician in Orange County. For those curious about COVID-related closures, guidance has changed.
The short answer is no, you don't need to be closing down businesses.
The CDC says for most cases, the protocol is COVID-affected areas should be disinfected.
It doesn't matter where you go. You have to be careful.
So wherever you go, just assume the worst and pay attention as we all try to get through this next several weeks, perhaps months. Monica LaLiberty, WRAL News 5 on your side.
It is all around us. Apple's $100 million investment in racial equity will benefit at least two universities in North Carolina. Apple has committed to create the Propel Center, a global hub for innovation and learning for the HBCU community. Here's a rendering of the future physical campus in Atlanta. St. Augustine's University in Raleigh has signed on as a partner, and so did Elizabeth City State University, and that means students and faculty will have access to virtual and in-person programs, career opportunities, and mentorship. More schools could sign on in the future, and you can read more about the program on WRL TechWire.
Well, the nonprofit funding the planning efforts for Dorothea Dix Park Center in Raleigh has a new leader. The Park Conservancy announced former state treasurer Janet Cowell as the new president and CEO. Cowell has served on the nonprofit's board since its creation, begins her new position Monday. She has also served as a state senator and Raleigh City Council member. The Conservancy has funded consultants and planners through the park's development and has pledged another $10 million to complete the first phase of the park. And a reminder to join us tonight for the story of a true public servant. The WRAO documentary, Marianne, examines the life and work of Marianne Black and the ways she served the city of Durham and the state of North Carolina. It airs tonight at 7:30 here on WRAL.
Meteorologist Mike Mays is joining us from the WRAL Severe Weather Center. And Mike, if only we could copy and paste today, tomorrow, I'll take it.
I think we'll be able to do that. Now, we'll have a little bit of cloud cover in the morning, but Deb, I think in the afternoon should look just as spectacular as it did today. And we actually had a 31 degree warm up from 26 this morning to 57 this afternoon. And if we do that tomorrow, we should be easily in the 60s. We'll watch to see if that happens. Now, this morning it was rather frosty. Chico Ford is our WRL weather watcher. She took this picture in Smithfield. You can see the frost on the grass there. There's the pond and what she said was at the Smithfield Hospital this morning. And we had reports of freezing fog in our southern counties. Of course, that burned off. 49 out at RDU right now, 43 at Goldsboro, 46 at Clinton. Yeah, it's cooling off quickly. We won't see any frost tonight. We won't see any freezing fog because cloud cover will come in, and so will the chance for rain. So here's the timeline for rain this evening. Nothing now, nothing at 8 o'clock. About a 10% chance of rain at 10 o'clock, 20% chance at midnight, 20% at 2 a.m., maybe 20 to 30% chance by 3 and 4 a.m. And if you see any measurable rain, it's about a hundredth of an inch, and that's about it. So we're tracking two systems. This is the weak one we're watching that comes in tonight. It'll be gone tomorrow afternoon, so we'll be back to the full sunshine tomorrow afternoon. And this one will really start to take shape as a big upper-level low and dive down to the south and east and bring that chance for rain late Friday and Friday evening. And by the time we get up Saturday morning, that rain will be gone. So here is Futurecast starting at 6 o'clock this evening. There's that weak little system coming on by, and that little bit of green is our small rain chance. That's 1 a.m. Tomorrow morning, some models suggest we'll have cloud cover in place, but Futurecast does not show that. And then tomorrow afternoon, we have sunshine. We're forecasting at least 60 for the high. By lunchtime, the low moves out. We're looking at pretty nice afternoon, again, with about 60 here in the triangle. Here comes the next front. Ahead of that, we'll be mild again on Friday with our high temperatures in the mid and upper 50s. 8 a.m. in the morning, we wake up to partly cloudy skies. It'll be mostly cloudy during the afternoon. And due to that cloud cover, I don't think we'll get quite as warm on Friday as what we expect for tomorrow. There's the front. Futurecast has backed off on coverage of rain for Friday evening and Friday night. And then our big upper-level low comes in on Saturday, and it's a cold pocket of air loft creating instability in the atmosphere. So we'll go partly to mostly cloudy with some sprinkles possible during the afternoon on Saturday, and it should be cooler. Talking about how much rain we could see, a hundredth of an inch to a tenth of an inch in the western part of the state, locally a tenth of an inch to a quarter of an inch. This is primarily with the system coming in Friday night, so it's really not a great chance for rain. Not as cold tonight, a chance for sprinkles, spotty light rain. Our lows in the 30s. Tomorrow morning's commute, we'll watch for some cloud cover that'll quickly burn off, and by lunchtime we should be very bright, if not with full sunshine. And later in the afternoon, upper 50s to low 60s, so make sure you get out tomorrow afternoon. I think you're going to enjoy the day. 7-day forecast, Friday 56 with increasing clouds, 40% chance of rain Friday night. The weekend looks good, and next week we start to warm back up, perhaps Deb back into the mid 50s by next Wednesday.
Really nice. All right, Mike, thank you. It is game night for NC State. Chris Lee is back with us. Welcome back.
Thank you. It was a nice little time off with my wife for our anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. But,
thank you. I appreciate that. Tonight, NC State, they're trying to make sure they're not in a slump. They want to avoid a slump day on this hump day. After not playing for 5 months, the Carolina Hurricanes will be back on the ice tomorrow night. You can hear the excitement in their voices for yourself. That's next in sports. Well, it's hump day. Let's hope it's not a slump day for the NC State Wolfpack. They're already on a two-game losing streak and taking on one of the best teams in the conference tonight. That is the Florida State Seminoles. But the Noles haven't played since December 29th, so they're trying to get back in the groove also, which could make for a great matchup tonight.
When you look at the way they play, they're starting to pick you up full court. They make it tough on you defensively. And you just got to figure a way to score against those guys. Great size as one of the teams in our league where they're big at every position.
Get ready. This game tips off in just a few minutes at 6:30. As football is making its way out, hockey is making its way in. Five NHL games today, none of which involve the Carolina Hurricanes. They'll have to wait an extra day. Finally, after finishing play in the NHL bubble almost 5 months ago, the Hurricanes are getting back on the ice. It's a shortened season, only 56 games, and they'll only play the teams in the newly formed Central Division in the regular season. Either way, these guys are just ready for some real competition.
We're definitely excited. I think even more so just because every game means a little bit more this year. I mean, we're starting with 56 games left to go, and so every game is that much more important, and guys are ready, guys are excited.
Kind of chomping at the bit to, you know, get going and just ramp up the intensity and play against someone else other than your teammates, and, you know, I don't think Thursday can come fast enough.
All right, you heard Hayden Fleury. Thursday cannot get here soon enough. The Canes will begin their season on the road against the Detroit Red Wings at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL teams continue to shoot their shot and slide into professional DMs of Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Reportedly, Brady interviewed with the Philadelphia Eagles today for their head coaching opening. Brady has already interviewed with the Falcons, the Texans, the Chargers, and the Jets after only one season with the Panthers. And get this, he's only 31 years old, so he'll probably be coaching guys that he's younger than.
Boy, he is a hot commodity, isn't he?
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you for joining us. NBC Nightly News is up next, followed by Our News at 7.
And tonight at 7:30, join us for the WRL documentary, Mary Ann. And we'll be back tonight at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 here on WRL. Have a great night, everybody.